This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shoot, yeah, boy, we got news. It's hour three of the G-Back Nation. We're on your Rangers right here. And a chief just told me there, as the music was about to start blaring, Seager and Young expected to play. That's just what Boach said live out there at the yard as they're getting ready for some exhibition action tonight at the Globe. It'll be a 6:30 pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. So congratulations. You know, it really wouldn't have mattered that much in the big picture, but it's just going to be amazing to get the lineup, to see those guys in there, to go through hopefully the calls that they do at the start of the game in the first inning, all the energy and excitement when they take the plate, Corey Seager, for the first time since the heroics of last year, you know, and to be able to take that all in and have those guys there, I think it's just going to make this opening day even more special. And we absolutely cannot wait to be out there Thursday afternoon with you. And if you're coming out, please stop by the broadcast position. We'd love to say hi. So Seager and Young are in. Okay, what we learned about Texas Rangers at spring training, the Frankel Firm truckwreck.com text line is open at 877-881-1053. What have you learned about this baseball team since they started spring training? What are you most excited to see here as we get the season underway on Thursday? Brian, can we start with you? You learn anything about this team?
Yeah, you know, the to me, the thing that it's fascinating is the lineup and what direction that Bochy's going to go with that. You have so many. I just remember, you know, the couple of times that we got to watch the Rangers play live in front of us, and it just seems so much depth there with so many different pieces to it and the combinations and all. And you know, last year the Rangers had to deal with a lot of injuries and stuff and were able to kind of survive that because of the depth they have. But it seems like to me it's even a better lineup this year than even going into last year. I think we have a lot more of those questions answered. But the whole thing, I think everybody's fascinated with what with Langford, what he could do, you know. To me, it's just such a deep team, and you know, how are they going to, you know, day in and day out, you know, put that lineup together, and will they get the right combinations? Because if they get the right combinations, they're going to be hard for a lot of teams to beat them on a nightly basis. You're going to have to get to their pitching probably, but you know, I think that's the from top to bottom. You know, I know the league had a deal where they ranked the best lineups in baseball. I think Rangers were fifth. You know, and understandably, there's some, you know, the Braves, the Dodgers, the others, the Astros, they're probably going to have. But, man, it is.
Yeah, anywhere from three to fifth, I've seen them be ranked.
It seems like, to me, the lineup is even better than this championship team last year. So I'm excited on a nightly basis how Boach is going to put that thing together, and can they deliver like they did last year?
I do think the one seed for excitement is Wyatt Langford. I think if you polled Rangers fans right now, I mean, other than just initial opening day, seeing Seager back out there and unveiling the banner and things like that, I think ultimately the start of this season is going to be all about seeing our guy Wyatt Langford hopefully pick up where he's left off at every turn, which is just, here's 1,000 OPS, here's 1,100 OPS, here's 1,200 OPS, dong ball left and right. Like, that's what I think everybody is super fired up for right now.
Yeah, that was number two on this list here in the morning news, what we've learned about the Rangers over the last 5 weeks, figuring out if Lankford fits on the opening day roster. And it was one of the greatest spring trainings by any player, you know, let alone a rookie. Hardest thing the Rangers had to do where Lankford was concerned was keep a straight face in the wake of questions about whether he was on the team or not. They had made the decision. And pretty cool from Bruce Bochy here. They're doing this Rangers all-access show that you can watch online. They managed to catch the moment in his office when Lankford was informed that he would not have to wait much longer to make his big league debut.
How are you? I get to see you.
How are you? How are you? Good, good. I got to tell you, one of the coolest moments for manager is a moment like now. That's being able to tell you you're with the major league team here, and I could be happier, I could be prouder for you. I mean, when, you know, how fast this is all happening for you, and I got to tell you, there's never any doubt in our mind. I don't know if you ever had any doubt, but I just want you to know this is a really, really cool moment. You're going to help us win, you're going to help us win a championship here, and so congratulations on everything that's happened to you. I know. You know, just a year ago, you're playing for the Gators, and now here you are. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. Nice work again.
Thank you. I'm excited. Yeah. Win some games.
Awesome. Wife, congratulations. Yeah. You heard it, man. And this is just the beginning. Yeah. You got the best yet to come. So proud of you. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Guess so.
All right. Nice work.
See, I see why sitting in there as the rookie walks in, a historic spring training for anybody, but you know, that's the thing that's happened this spring training that gives us the credibility of this as a potential breakout rookie superstar. The name Mike Trout, you know, was mentioned last week, and I think that just sent a jolt through the fan base, maybe the radio station, maybe Tolos everywhere, that put it into context of just how good this guy could be. Now, Mike Trout had the high butt, you know, that we were talking about late last week. Lankford is an elite athlete as well. Yeah. Maybe not the kind of dude that can have a 45-inch vert and like redefine what it is to be an athletic outfielder. But, you know, he fits in that category of, you know, maybe not a Ken Griffey Jr., Mickey Mantle superstar, but definitely in that barely half tick down. So that's my expectation is, could this guy be as good as Seager? How long could that take to come to fruition? And it seems like whatever level he goes to, it's just a matter of getting the experience, seeing some pitches, and he's like, okay, I got it. And that's typically what the greats can do. You know, they just step in, the tools of the game, a little bit of work. And, you know, this is historic, though, even for greats to be able to do this kind of deal. So if he does that, then you would be looking at a team now that I think does compare favorably to the lineups of the Dodgers and the Braves.
Yeah. You know how insane it is to win a championship and then follow that up with to start a MLB season having 1-2 in the Rookie of the Year odds?
Yeah.
That's what you have right now in Lankford and Carter. You just won a title.
Yeah.
And the top two guys, best odds to be Rookie of the Year, are both Texas Rangers.
Well, I think to me,
I can't imagine how many times that's happened in the history of the sport.
I don't think so. It's just unbelievable that the Lankford has eclipsed Carter so much.
And all Evan Carter does is make history.
That's right.
I mean, I think we could probably, just off the top of my head, think about the Dodgers probably that with, you know, with what they've done. Dodgers seem like every year they had the Rookie of the Year, and then they were battling for the title or battling for the division or something like that. I mean, but I think the thing is that to me, and the reason why I mentioned the lineup is because remember what we were thinking about with Josh Young, and we're thinking about him. We really didn't know what was going on in center field. You know, there were so many questions that we had this time last year.
Oh yeah, you were depending on guys like Josh.
And now you're kind of looking at this lineup going, yeah, damn, Josh Young's a really good player at third base. You know, you look at overall and some of the, you know, they spent the money on, you know, up the middle there with their infield. But then with Lowe and guys like that. I mean, guys got better as the year went on. There were far less questions. You know, by the end you're like, and now you're talking about bringing all those guys back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, where there were, you know, like there were so many questions. You're like, well, this team's going to win 86 games. This team's going to win, you know, it's what they're going to do. They're going to.
And they got rid of their weak links.
Yeah, if these guys come through, then they'll win, you know. But now,
hey, this was supposed to be the year that they really went for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think last year was extra. It just showed how good their process
is. We just learned so much about the guys, like I say, the Josh Youngs and people like that.
Okay, final thing the Morning News wrote about, like, things that we learned in spring training. It was a goal of theirs to make sure defending the World Series title wasn't a burden. Did you ever feel like it's become that way? They got the TV show now. There's bigger crowds, there's more media, there's expectations. How have they managed that from your guys' perspective?
You know, I feel like, though, it's just part of what happens. You know, the extra, the show that they're doing, the insight that they're trying to give. I think teams are trying to really promote their teams and any kind of access that you can give.
Yeah,
I think that's a good thing. This team is
going to be the normal deal now.
Yeah,
isn't
as
it?
Long as Bruce Bochy's the manager, I don't see things changing very much. Eric, you go in the clubhouse a lot more than we were going. Did it appear any different from what you were dealing with before to, you know, this year?
It really did, man. It seemed light. It seemed like there was really, really good camaraderie. You have pitchers
guys
intermingling
like
with
each
position
other.
Players. Yes, they're sitting on the couch. They're gathering around. They're watching dudes do the crossword puzzles. They're watching another guy play the mobile version of Call of Duty, and it's Sporzy and DeGrom talking a little smack to each other. It's Sam Huff talking a little smack with these guys. Like, I think everything was, you know, in a good place. And I do think that you have the even keel, steady Bruce Bochy running the show there. But you also, I think, have had enough in the way of not off-season hate, but disrespect, I think. You know, there's enough out there from a disrespect standpoint where everywhere you turn, it's, oh, who's winning the AL West? It's the Astros again.
Yeah.
Oh, can the Rangers even make the playoffs? Everybody's talking about the question marks as opposed to shining a light on the dominance that this team has and is bringing back. So I think there's enough in the way of disrespect that they can kind of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder coming in as the big dogs.
I kind of feel like, too, as long as the season was, that you really didn't have time to really anything to change. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have a whole off season to sit on it and, you know, just kind of hear, you know, everybody patting you on the back, telling you how great you are, that whole thing, you know, kind of, you know, getting pumped up about it. But the off season seemed like, to me, it was very short.
Yeah.
It's like they went into, they won the championship. We had the parade. And the next thing you know, we were talking about being in Arizona for spring training. So maybe the shorter, you know, it seemed like to me it was just very quick. So maybe they didn't have the time to get totally full in themselves when it was, you know, that sometimes that happens to championship teams.
Yeah, I wonder about the physical toll of playing an additional month of baseball or more. And then, you know, that's why you don't see these teams go back to back very often. Even Bochy's teams, it was like that in between year is like, okay, we're gathering ourselves and then we go for it again. I do wonder, that's really my biggest question, is outside of the tangible things of like the rotation and whatnot. It's just, how does the long season that you just played and guys like Marcus Semien playing every single day, 170 plus games, how does that end up affecting you? And at what point do you see it from the start? Or once you get into the summer, can you start to feel the fatigue setting in? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just one of the questions that I have.
Yeah, it's a legit thing. And it's an absolute grind. And I think guys need days off. But hopefully that goes to Bochy's strengths as well, that he can monitor the physical and the mental and keep guys fresh. And I think this also goes to C. Y.'s approach, and I do think he borrowed from J.D. on this, or he's benefiting from J.D.'s insistence. We're going to get really even-keel guys that trust the process, don't get too up, don't get too down, and it's annoying like when they suck and they're talking about that kind of stuff. But now that they're really good and they have that foundation and that culture built that J.D. was so big on, the mental ABCs of the game and not psyching yourself out, not getting burnt out from being, you know, just a maniac – I think that has benefited them big time already in the mental toughness department. And then they just cleaned out so many jobbers. Like, you bring back Janko because he's a glue guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you let guys go who, you know, were at the bottom of the roster and were, you know, symptomatic of what this team was
before, you know, the great rebuild that they went through. And now when you look at the roster, it's like if you have somebody that you think isn't capable of going out and being an everyday player and hitting 270, it's because he's playing a very, very specific role and you need those unique skill sets, you know, available at the end of your bench in case of an emergency. Now you're built to win a championship where last year you were ahead of schedule and magically figured it out with the worst bullpen to ever make the playoffs. You went ahead and won the damn World Series. So that's it's pretty exceptional.
With two legit, like, starting pitchers in the playoffs,
yeah,
you find a way. It's like, here's Monty and Eovaldi. Everything else is just going to be patchwork. We're going to figure this thing out. And guys stepped up. It's like, what's my role? Okay, I'll go eat two or three innings here and make it happen for you. Shout out Dane Dunning. Shout out John Gray and many others.
But a lot of it goes to the clutch hitting they had in the playoffs, too. It just seemed like every time they needed a big hit. Even remember that time Adoli's in that game. He goes 0 for 4, and then when he had this fifth at bat, he hits the homer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just showed you how clutch they were at certain times when they needed to.
The clutch double plays.
Oh,
that
one
at Baltimore.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. What was that, the ninth inning?
Yeah.
What a stab.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Nation, we got to run. Top 10 at 420 coming up next. Chief, where are we going?
Liam Neeson has me wondering who Hollywood's top 10 highest paid are. We'll get you that on the top 10 list of the day. Plus, Shedeur Sanders calling out our beloved Texas high school football next year in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. I like the 254 here. Calm down, Dawson. I hope Bankford does good, too. But let's let this breathe. Wait till there is major league tape on him. I understand, you know, and I'm trying to. But I'm just not going to be surprised if he hits 400 in the month of April. You know, that's just me. You decide for yourself how hyped you want to get. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's time now for Wooly Bully's Top 10 at 420. Here's Chief for Zach.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Wooly Bully back tomorrow doing the fatherly thing at the hospital with young Eliza. I believe things are moving in a positive direction. So all is well with the Walchucks, but send your best over there on Twitter and whatnot. He will be back tomorrow. I will man the top 10 list of the day. Thanks to Liam Neeson and his wonderful sound that we played on Friday. We'll play it again here. I was wondering who are the highest paid actors and actresses over the last year in Hollywood. I have the top 10 in front of me. You can send your guesses at 877-881-1053. But before we do that, I wanted to play this sound of Colorado's quarterback, Shedeur Sanders. You must be very familiar with him. Well, listen to him call out 6A big-time Texas high school football.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I always been against the odds, like in different ways.
Okay, so he's getting ratioed on this one pretty bad. Just a couple of takeaways here. You know, half of the college football playoff was quarterbacked by Texas 6A quarterbacks. That is just one of the statistical reflections of how he might have misjudged what it is he was talking about. Ben Baby showing us that Shedeur Sanders was 41st in total QBR last year among Power 5 quarterbacks. At least eight of the quarterbacks ranked ahead of him in that category played at a Texas public high school. So a handful of people have come out and sort of shot down with facts whatever it is he was trying to get across there. But he wants to let everybody know that he's definitely gone through some adversity. Turns out six members of the NFL first team All-Pro went to 6A Texas high schools, a full 20% of the best players in the NFL. 50% of playoff quarterbacks in the NFL 2024 came from 6A Texas schools. So just not necessarily true what he said about the guys that were...
Uninformed opinion, you'd say?
Uninformed opinion, I think, is probably a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
As someone who never competed in the school system, it is a little confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty. I mean, the Texas quarterbacks, it's a thing. Like, everybody knows.
It's not a thing. It's reality.
Right.
It really is. It's just that, you know, if you just take a little time to research the quarterbacks that have played in this league and where they're from, as a quarterback, you might want to do that one day. You know, just see where your counterparts are from. You know, always trying to educate yourself a little bit better.
It's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, we are about to have a little Hollywood conversation, but we must address what is happening in real time right now, which is rapper P. Diddy having both his Los Angeles and Miami homes raided by Homeland Security in connection with a sex trafficking investigation. So, Diddy's in some hot water right now, and that is trending in a huge way. A lot of people are texting in because this, over the last half hour or so, has taken over the internet. P. Diddy has been the butt of some jokes as of late, but some of the allegations involved here are extremely heinous, so it remains to be seen what ends up happening here, but it's been a tough couple of months, and it seems only to get tougher here for old P. Diddy.
Sounds like he might be the Harvey Weinstein of music.
It sounds like he might be a gay paymaster.
Really? Man, I hadn't seen those details. I guess I got to jump in over here on the X.
Do we need to research that one?
Like, did I just recklessly speculate?
I hope not.
No, I think there's always some recklessness involved with just about anything I say.
Okay,
but
do I need to look that up?
I think that's a less than reckless speculative.
So he's using his position of power in the industry to coerce people into things that maybe they don't want to do, and all that's coming to light?
Yes, geez. And all of a sudden you are, you know, a tough guy rapper who has this hanging over his head. And you're like, crap, now I can't let this out of the bag. So sure, P. Diddy, whatever it is you need me to do,
that's my secret of how I got into the music industry back in the day.
Yeah, and maybe you didn't know about it. Maybe, perhaps, you were drugged. And all of a sudden, crap started happening to you that you were like, oh, no. But still, there's some embarrassment involved there.
Wow.
Even if it was, you know, somewhat out of your control.
Just thought I had a long night on the toilet.
Yeah. Not quite. So we'll continue to monitor that with P. Diddy. But two homes of P. Diddy have been raided by Homeland Security
coast
in the last like 45 minutes. Yeah, coast to coast. Absolute nightmare situation for him. Okay, last week, Lucius unveiled the online conversation involving the craziest things ever said in an interview, played some fun clips. One of them was actor Liam Neeson a few years ago promoting a movie talking about the pay gap between men and women in Hollywood. And just wait for it. Right there at the end is when it is exactly what I want you to hear.
There's a lot of discussion about it and a lot of healthy and necessary discussion about it because the disparity sometimes is disgraceful.
How do you think we can move past that?
We're starting and it has to start, you know, and it's starting with these extraordinary actresses and brave ladies and we, as men, have got to be part of it, you know? We started it, so we have to be part of the solution.
So would you take a pay cut to kind of equal things out?
No. Pay cut? No. That's gone too far.
Thank you, Liam Neeson, for your thoughts on this matter. It is clearly something that hits home to Liam Neeson. He wants to get in the mix here. He wants to help out, but there is an obvious line in the sand that he is not willing to cross here in order to get the money in the ladies' pockets.
Nobody needs to make less. Let's just bring them up to where we are.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't have to take it out of my pile. There's billionaires whose pile this can come out.
No. Would you rather none of us make anything? Haters, you know. We just need to bring the ladies up here, make as much as we are, then it's all good. Man, Hollywood's taking L's right and left though. They're like, but there's nobody left in the theaters, guys. We got to not pay somebody here.
Yeah. Except for those psychos with all their dogs, apparently. Yeah. these dog pet movie theaters that's going on.
No. That's gone too
far. Yeah, that's gone too far, Liam. Now, in front of me, I have the top 10 highest paid actors and actresses. Thank you to the hard work of guys like Liam Neeson in the industry getting money in the ladies' pockets for the year 2023. How many women do you think are on this top 10 list?
One.
All right. Well,
Sandra Bullock, maybe?
We'll find out. This is for the year 2023. This isn't like all time.
Oh.
Just so you know. Like, this is just specifically for the last year.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No apologies. That's a damn good pull by you. I didn't even know you knew Sandra Bullock. Yeah. You know, as a guy who doesn't watch movies,
I just know she's in a lot of movies and that she was in a lot of famous movies. So I thought it was an all-timer thing.
What's your favorite Sandra Bullock movie?
I only know one, I think, Speed.
Was she
the Bird Box?
Bird Box is
another one. Yeah,
two good pulls by you.
What was the one where she was like, and it was like an espionage movie that I can't remember the name of this. She was like, she was getting followed and
Ocean's 8?
No, I'm sorry, I'll look it up. But there's a movie like
it's a good suggestion.
I think
by
there's
Chris
a movie
Strong.
Where she's Thank like the government is out to get her, kind of a movie.
Wow.
I think she was
That's what she does well. You know, I think the problem is when you try to put Sandra Bullock in like a serious drama or to make her an intimidating force, she just has to be the nervous person who's like, oh no, I'm in danger. Help me.
Miss Congeniality. You know?
She was in Gravity, right? Was that one of her movies?
Gravity. She went to outer space with somebody, with George Clooney, I think. I think Sandra Bullock and George Clooney went to outer space together. I think I have that right.
Oh, she was in A Time to Kill.
All right. Could you guys, let's see, Chris Strong, give me one actor that you believe, or actress, that you believe would be in the top 10 of this here list, made the most money in Hollywood last year?
I'm going to go with Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper in your top 10. Swing and a miss.
Oh.
But it's okay. Number 10, we have Denzel Washington.
No, that's gone.
Denzel Washington, $24 million, 69 years old, Equalizer 3. Never saw it, but I loved the first one in particular. Second one was solid. But the film grossed more than $191 million globally. So Denzel Washington, with really just like one legit movie to speak of, Equalizer 3, comes in at number 10, $24 million. At 9, you have Ben Affleck, $38 million. Starred in the Nike exec Phil Knight, Air. But he also directed and produced that movie. And that raked in $90 million globally. And then he starred in another film, Hypnotic. Although many stars have endorsement deals, like Affleck's endorsement of Dunkin' Donuts, the list only includes their income from their entertainment gigs. So Ben Affleck, $38 million just from movies and stuff, not including any endorsements or off the field, if you will. Jason Statham, this is crazy to me. The staying power of Jason Statham has been insane.
I wouldn't have guessed he'd been in a movie for a decade.
I know, dude. I thought like the last thing he was in was like Transporter or the one where they all get together and it's Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
Oh, God, she was in The Blind Side.
Sandra Bullock, she was in The Blind Side.
Yeah.
She's a football guy.
Yeah.
Jason Statham is tied basically at 7, $41 million. He was in Fast X, Meg 2, Expendables. That's the movie that I was thinking of, Expendables.
That's good.
No, he's always good for an Expendables movie. And he's a certified ass kicker. I mean, he's one of my favorite action bros.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know he was still getting it done. He's 56 years old. That's the thing. Like, our action stars are aging in a big way. I don't know who's the new batch of young action stars. We're still rolling out Tom Cruise, Liam Neeson. It's like these dudes are mid-50s into their 60s, bro.
Yeah, okay. I guess we got Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. You got Thor. You know, Chris Hemsworth. who plays Tyler Rake in an excellent Netflix special movie where he's just dominating people, like John Wick style, just murking folks.
Research that I've just done. She was in a movie called The Net.
You're still stuck on Sandra.
I was curious because it's a computer programmer discovers government secrets and becomes a target of mysterious an enemy. You know, so yeah, the movie was called The Net, 1995. That's when I about stopped watching movies. About 1995.
That was your final straw.
She was getting hunted down by the government. Yeah. She figured out something.
And you know what? I'm sorry, I haven't been looking at the text for a second. I was looking at the list. A lot of people had texted in The Net.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate having you back. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Another guy says she was just in one called The Beekeeper, perhaps the sequel to The Net.
I've seen a lot of commercials for that, The Beekeeper. I thought that was a show. Oh, wait, I guess it was a movie. Yeah, it was a movie. I don't pay attention.
No, you don't.
I really don't.
It's evident.
Yep.
940 Tom Holland. That's Tim texting in, throwing out a young action star suggestion. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. You know, he did some Spider-Man stuff. I get it. He's not your typical archetype for action star. You know, Tom Holland, a little bit scrawny or whatever, but I get it. He's definitely a superstar. Leonardo DiCaprio's tied with Jason Statham, $41 million. Killers of the Flower Moon was his main deal with the the Scorsese film. Jennifer Aniston, your first lady on the list, $42 million. Thank you to guys like Liam Neeson for getting this done. The Morning Show, Murder Mystery 2. She was on with Adam Sandler and Netflix. She's 55 years old, still getting it done, man. Yeah. Still a rocket.
A Gen X favorite, you know?
Definitely.
All the gals love her, you know? She's cute but not super duper hot. So like all the ladies are like, oh yeah, that's my girl.
I actually agree with you on this, but I think that's actually a hot take.
Really?
Saying Jennifer Aniston is not like 10 smoke show dime bag hot, you know, compared to just like respectably hot.
55 years old hot.
A lot of people go all in for her, like even when you're not doing 50 plus stars or just whatever, like you get your one hall pass and a lot of people are still going Jennifer Aniston by a mile. And I'm not hating on it, but I don't know.
I mean, she's the hottest gal that you could seriously hope to get, you know, not you specifically, Chief, but, you know, most guys are like, oh, yeah.
I don't stand a chance.
Right.
Matt Damon's number four, tied $43 million. He's 53 years old. And he was obviously in Oppenheimer, which was a monster film. Ryan Gosling's tied there with him at $43 million. So, of course, playing Ken in Barbie, he crushed it. That's $1.4 billion worldwide. Highest grossing film of the year, Barbie was. So really? Ryan Gosling cashed out in a big way. Jeez. Tom Cruise, $45 million, comes in at number three of the top 10 highest paid actors and actresses for the year 2023. Your second and final lady on this list, Barbie's own, Margot Robbie. Now she's the surefire Tenski.
Cha-ching.
$59 million, and she played Barbie.
Wait a minute. Okay, the number one, let me take a guess here.
Okay.
Because did he just sign a new deal? Is it the Netflix? Is it Adam Sandler?
It's Adam Sandler, ladies and gentlemen. Murder Mystery 2. Yeah. And, of course, we have on the horizon Happy Gilmore 2.
He's back, baby.
But that's the thing about it is, because he signed. It's all because of this Netflix deal, right?
Pretty much. Windfall for him.
Oh, definitely. Yeah Netflix. Okay. He got the fatty, fatty boombah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he won't be back next year, Brian. Yeah. It was a big year for Adam.
Yeah.
All right, it is the G-Bank Nation. You're on 105 through the Fan. There's the top 10 at 420. When we come back, we are planning on having the Ohtani presser as he's going to address reporters and who knows, maybe tell us the truth or maybe just another version of it. It's next in the G-Bank Nation on 105 through the Fan. Shohei Ohtani at the podium. Let's go to L.A.
くらいですかね厳しい、1週間だと思うんですけども、まあ、メディアの皆さんも含めて、我慢と、ご理解をしていただいたのはすごくありがたいなと、思っています、まず僕自身も信頼していた方の、過ちというのを、悲しくというか、ショックですし
All righty, we are listening to Shohei Ohtani. Here's his.
First of all, thank you very much for coming. I wanted to be here today to be able to talk. I'm sure it was very tough. It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient in this process. Just on a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this.
現在進行中 の調査もありますので、今日話せることにまず限りがあるというのも、ご理解いただきたいなということと、 まあ、また今日ここに詳細をまとめた分かりやすく皆さんにお伝えするためにまとめたメモがありますのでそちらの方に従って何があったのかというのをまず説明させていただきたいなと思います。
So obviously today there's things that I'm limited in being able to talk about. I hope you understand. I do have a document in front of me that I will refer to that will detail what has happened.
まずはじめに僕自身は何かにかけたりとか誰かに代わってそのスポーツイベントにかけたりとかそれをまた頼んだりっていうことはないですし、まあ僕の口座からブックメーカーに対して誰かに送金を依頼したことももちろん全くありません。
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf and I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
まあ、本当に数日前まで、まあ、彼が、そういうことをしていたっていうのも、まあ、全く知りませんでした。
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening.
まあ、結論から言うと、彼がまあ僕の、口座からお金を、盗んで、なおかつ、まあ、みんな僕の周りもそうですね。みんなに、まあ、嘘をついていたっていうのが、まあ、結論から言うとそういうことになります。
Just to kind of just go over the result. In conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
まあ、まず初めに言うと先週末、韓国ですね、僕の代理人に対してメディアの、方から私が、僕のにですね、違法のブックメーカーから、僕が、関与しているのではないかというスポーツ博打賭博について、関与しているのではないかという打診があり連絡がありました。
Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp, inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting.
で、一平さんは僕にこういった取材の依頼があるということをまず、僕には話していなかったし、僕の方にそういう連絡はまず来ていなかったということと。まずはじめに代理人には、一平さんは僕と話して分かったのは、一平さんにではなく、某友人の借金の肩代わりとして、支払ったというふうに、僕の代理人も含めてみんなに話してました。
So, Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt.
で、その翌日にさらに尋問で一平さんは、僕たちの代理人に対して、借金は自分のもの、つまり一平さん自身が作ったものだということを、まあ、説明しました。
Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt.
で、それを僕が、まあ、肩代わりしたという話を、その時に代理人に話したそうです。
And told my representatives that I was paying off those debt.
そしてこれらは全く、全てが嘘だったということですね。
And this all of this has been a complete lie.
一平さんは取材依頼のことも僕にはもちろん、その時伝えていなかったですし、代理人の人たちに対しても、僕はすでに彼と話して、彼と話してコミュニケーションを取っていたということを、嘘をついてました。
So Ipe obviously lied about, you know, basically didn't tell me about the media inquiry.
And then その代表に対して、うん、僕もそうだし代表、チームもそうですね。チームも、代理の人たちに対しても、まあ、つまり僕とコミュニケーションを取っていたっていうふうに嘘をついてました。
So Ipe has been telling everybody around.That Ipe has been communicating with Shohei on all of this account to my representative, you know, to my representative, to the team, and that hasn't been true.
そして僕がこのギャンブルに関しての問題を初めて知ったのは、韓国での第一戦が終わった後に行われたチームミーティングの時、試合の後のチームミーティングの時です。
The first time I knew about this gambling.Ipe's gambling was during the after the first game when we had team meeting in the clubhouse.
まあ、そのミーティングで彼は全部英語で話していたので、僕に通訳はもちろんその時ついていなくて、全て英語で話していたので、まあ、完全には理解できていなくて、まあ、なんとなくこういう内容だろうなっていうのはおそらくは、理解はできていましたけど、なんとなく違和感をその時は感じていました。
So during the team meeting, obviously, Ipe was speaking in English, and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss.
で、まあ、その時彼は僕に対してホテルに帰った後で、2人で、より詳しいことを、2人で話したいので、今は待ってくれというふうに言っていたので、僕はまず、その時はホテルまで待つことにしてました。
Just prior to the meeting, I was told by Ipe, hey, let's talk one-to-one in the hotel after the meeting. So I waited until then.
で、僕は Ipe さんがその時にギャンブル、ミーティングの時にギャンブルの依存症だっていうのは僕はもちろん知らなかったですし、彼が借金をしていることもそのミーティングの時はもちろん知りませんでした。
So up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt.
で僕は彼の借金返済にももちろん同意その時も同意してませんし、物件会社に対して彼に送金をしてくれと頼んだことももちろん許可したことももちろんないです。
And at that, obviously at that point, or I, and obviously I did not never agreed to pay off the debt or you know make payments to the bookmaker.
でまあその後試合後ホテルに、戻って一平さんと初めてそこで話をして、彼に巨額の借金があることをその時知りました。
And finally, when we went back to the hotel and talked one-to-one, that was when I was, when I found out that he had a massive debt.
で、彼はその時私に、僕の口座を勝手に、僕の口座に勝手にアクセスして、ブックメーカーに送金していたということを僕に伝えました。
And it was revealed to me during that meeting that Ipe admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker.
There it is, the Shohei Ohtani press conference in Los Angeles as Ohtani and the Dodgers are back home, had a weekend. It took them, you know, probably 3 days, but I think they have at least a flowing narrative that makes sense and is somewhat clean, you know. Never asked somebody to bet on my behalf, never went through a bookmaker, I've never bet on sports. He said he was disappointed that somebody would have done this to him. He said, Ipe has been telling everybody I knew this and it's not true.And he said he never agreed to pay off the debt. So it really seems like Ipe was trying to control it in private and give the media a story that could hopefully for him make it go away. And he knew that at any time telling Ohtani what had been going on would be an automatic firing. So he was probably just scrambling, you know, assuming that narrative. You know, I mean, that sounds good. If you're a lawyer making a case, I'm like, okay, let's hear what the other guy has to say. But I think we're now far removed from a time that we're ever going to get down to a bottom of this and find out what a real story is. If that's not the truth, I don't know that we'll see the truth for 30, 40, 50 years.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, unless Ipe is willing to just take all of the fall here,
yeah.
You know, on behalf of his guy, Shohei,then, you know, that's really all.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Is he going to come out and be like, yeah, everything that Ohtani said is true? I imagine, right?
I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he will. He, if you look at the situation, $4 million was paid somehow, some way, and it came out of Shohei's account.
Yeah.
If you're the translator, I think you immediately take all responsibility here. You know, and you don't fight Shohei on this.Unless he could come up with actual documentation, text messages, emails, something, phone calls.
And you don't
want to
make that bigger.
Yeah.
You just want the story to go away at
this
point.
You, at this point in time, you've effed up pretty good. And now you're just like, okay, whatever happens, you know, you kind of, because if he fights Shohei, there could be some criminal stuff here, right?
Yeah.
You know, stealing money. Unless...Shohei gave him access to his account.
I know. That's what I'm. That's the detail I'm most looking forward to finding if this is all what actually happened and the translator is the one who is stealing from Shohei and doing this all by himself. How did he get the ability to get to his money and send millions of dollars with him not knowing? And how about Ohtani? This is all extremely personal. and this is all happening in the locker room in front of all your brand new teammates, and allegedly you're being told the information as guys you just met are receiving it at the same time.
Wow.
And you're standing there like, wait, what? Yeah. We just played a game and now this is happening?
It is unbelievable that he did not know anything until the guys talking in a team meeting.
Yeah, like did you can't nobody... even pull me aside first and be like, hey, this is about to go down, bro. just so you know, the team's about to be addressed, but you deserve to be told first.
No, we'll go talk about this in private later on. There's a lot of fishy stuff, and most of the text continues to say, that sounded fake. That's a cover-up. You just don't give random people access to millions.
That's what
B.S. Otani knew.
Yeah.
The court of public know that millions are out of your own account? I mean, I don't know.
It does definitely seem fishy, and I think it's crossed over in just being annoying now. You know, they're in the midst of a cover-up, and so many entities are going to go along with it. I think Otani, the Dodgers, MLB, the agent, and then there's really nothing you can do after that to get any sort of clarity on what actually happened. We got to run, Nation. When we come back, an edition of the finest, Chief.
That's Subject. Right. March's finest, Mulkey, Gulkey, and Big 12 Sulky next year in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.